All right, this is the National Finance Committee. This is the National Finance Committee meeting. Oh, we got quite a bit of background noise there. Somebody can mute. This is the National Finance Committee meeting for Tuesday, March 24th, 2020. Quorum present, we are going to take roll. Mr. Secretary, can you take the roll?
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams. Nick Arena.
Here.
Teresa J. Allen. Fred Blair. Chris Corey.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah. James Sagerton.
Here.
Anita Sims.
Here.
Nancy Sorden. Okay, we have six.
Okay. So I had a somewhat short agenda tonight because we didn't have a lot of extra items on the to discuss, except for some leftovers from last time. But there's an additional thing that's cropped up here because of the bylaws results, and that's that. Anyway, I wanted to save this for item six, but if you want something, a better description of item six than what I have there, this would be like a general discussion of finances with a focus on payables, which I think now that all of this madness is over with our governance should be become our immediate and most pressing and highest priority, and how to deal with that at the PMB level. There'd be something that I think we should be discussing because they're going to be looking to us for guidance on this. So that and just the general context of the financials would be good to talk about as well. So I don't know how to articulate that better than I just did. And if someone can think of a wording to bottle it so that I can revise item six, maybe general discussion of finances and payables, something like that. Does that sound acceptable?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds fine.
Okay.
General
so,
discussion of what and payables?
Finances and payables.
And how much time?
Let's give that 20 minutes.
You should make the motion and read everything out.
Okay. So I move to change item six, which currently reads discussion.
You don't have to change anything. You can just read out what you're doing now.
I see. Okay. So I just read it as part of the agenda. Is that what you're suggesting, R. Paul?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. So item one is convene meeting at 8:45. Item two is roll call. Item three is approve agenda. Item four is minutes approval. Did you send any minutes around, R. Paul?
Nope.
Okay.
Why don't we just drop that?
We're going to drop that. So item four becomes the central services formula discussion. That might end up being shorter than 30 minutes, but that's what we have allotted for it. I'm not sure that we've made any progress on that since the last meeting. I think everybody's been fairly preoccupied over the last couple of weeks. Item six is a general discussion of finances and payables with Anita. And item
seven. That would be five now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Item five. Right. Sorry. Is a general discussion of finances and payables with Anita. I'm going to allot 30 for that now that I look at it. I think we have time for that. And then item seven is any new business. And then we have a time certain for adjournment of 10 p.m. tonight. Are there any objections to the minutes? Excuse
James,
me. The
James, seven is six now.
Okay, seven is six. Sorry about that. The agenda, and seven is the adjournment. So are there any objections to the agenda as amended? Okay, hearing none, our first item up is the Central Services Formula discussion. I think last time where we left it off was that I was kind of waiting for feedback from the rest of the committee. But was there something that we were requesting from Anita as well that I haven't delivered to the NFC at this juncture? I think, Bill, you were requesting a detail of payments made, payments received versus.
I had sent Lydia two email messages last week and the week before asking what's the plan for, you know, getting our major payables up to date. And I haven't seen anything. So,
okay. So I had
if we want to try to come up with a plan, that's fine with me. Somebody needs to come up with a plan, I guess.
Okay. All right. So that would fill in fit into item five pretty well. I just got off the phone with Lydia like 10 minutes ago. So I can do my best to bring you up to speed with what little new information that I have at that time. Is there anything in the centrals? I think without all of that stuff, without, you know, I don't know. Last time when we were talking about this, I sent out a whole bunch of different ways of constituting the central services formula. And I think your objection, Bill, is that some stations would be unable to pay and that that would saddle other stations with the burden or leave a shortfall in central services.
Well, we can talk about that when we get to that on the agenda.
We're
still in agenda approval right now. But it can fit under that general discussion of finances and payables.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I apologize for that. I just asked if there was any objection to the agenda as amended, my understanding was that there weren't any, right? So I was moving on to the central services formula discussion since there's no minutes approval tonight. So we were already on that, Bill.
Okay. Do you want me to mention what I mentioned last week about or the last meeting?
Please do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess the issue is that we can come up with formulas that we think make sense or are fair or whatever, but if some stations aren't able to even pay their central services, at least regularly, then what's the point of the formula? I mean, ideally, all the stations should be paying all their central services in full every month. If they were, we would have all our service providers paid 100%, and we'd have PRA paid, and, you know, we'd be probably have some money left over that we'd be spending on the interest on the big loan. But we have, you know, continued shortfalls on central services from some stations. It was about, I think the spreadsheet we got from Anita 2 weeks ago showed that there was about $400,000 short for the last fiscal year, FY19 plus so far this year, in central services and health insurance and I forget what else, and PRA. So that's part of central services. So if we had those $400,000, we'd wouldn't be in the shape we're in right now. So I don't know. I guess the priority should be how can we get stations to, you know, get their finances improved so that they can pay central services and then we wouldn't have to worry about this stuff.
Right. Yeah, and getting the individual stations gainful would probably be the primary objective here, because without that, where are they going to draw that money from? I mean, central services are always the first thing to get hacked because they're considered a lower priority than payroll by the stations. And so just covering the basic costs of operation is going to take precedent over that. And so if they're not actually covering their operating costs, then there's no point in trying to go after them for central services. So the objective, I think, for every individual station, if it's not I don't mean to state the obvious, but I feel that I have to, is that each station would be operating gainfully. And I think maybe four of them were in the first quarter, and maybe even through January. We might have gone down to three in January. I can't remember right now without pulling it up. Go ahead, James.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay, I'm having trouble trying to mute my phone and unmute it. It doesn't seem to be responding. This is, I guess it's old at this point, but, one thing we could do to get stations functioning is that when they start to function better and they have their numbers going up, we cannot invade them and yank them off the air and cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to the station. We could also avoid needless bylaws elections when there's a process to amend the bylaws that could have been used. So that's all I have to say for now.
Okay. For anybody else for the staff?
Nick for the staff.
Go ahead, Nick.
So one of the things that I believe I had suggested going back at least one or two meetings was to have us look at what is the national office's expenses of which the central services payments are being used for, and what is the national office's also ability to have income outside of that. We all know that the stations are operating pretty much hand to mouth and are having to adjust their budgets to be as cash flow neutral and or sometimes positive for different reasons. I don't think we've had a meaningful discussion and at the Finance Committee level at least of just what are the expenses of the national office? Are they able to be reduced? What are the sources of income for the national office outside of the central services? And how can we put our attention on that? Because it seems to me that the reason why there's central services to begin with is the national office has expenses. But in order to determine what those fees should be, we should talk about what they're paying for. And is there any place within those costs could be adjusted, as well as is there any place for the national office to raise other revenues? So I, rather than, going down a formula road, perhaps we could have that discussion just looking at what the national office expenses are right now and where is there room to make adjustments.
Okay. Well, I just
want to say this is Sharon, and I'm on the call now.
Thanks, Sharon. I can pick up a portion of this conversation, and if Anita could fill in the expense side, I would appreciate it. On the receivable side, there are additional sources of funding for the national office. Last year they were significant, although about half of it was through bequests. But even when it isn't through bequests, about 20 or 30% of the national office's operating revenue comes through a combination of donations, income from affiliates, rent income, grant income, and donations. So that's a partial answer to that question. I believe the overall operating budget for the national office is projected to be about $1.5 million. As far as how those expenses could be reduced, I think I'm going to opt out of that one for the moment just because I haven't dug super deep into it, but if Anita can comment on it, I would appreciate it.
Sure. And I'm looking at, Chris, at the expenses, and I'm looking through February. So it looks like, and also for the first quarter of the fiscal year, it looks like expenses are trending about $170,000 a month. That includes personnel costs, board costs, development, payroll taxes, health benefits, all of that. So, I mean, that's the largest expense. And also see that revenue is coming in, of course, at a lower pace than expenses. Then you have, of course, the stations that are able to pay on the central services. And that's really what balances the budget, if you will. Through year-to-date, as of February, we look at net income of $191,000 for the national office. But there's, of course, probably the majority of the payables that are outstanding are probably 6 months, in some cases plus, that are outstanding. And that is really, we don't have the money, of course, from the national side to pay that without recouping some of the expenses from the central services. And then
right.
when you, I think one of the asks from the last meeting was for us to consolidate FY 2019 and 20, which we did. And when you add the central services that is still owed back, if you will, along with the benefits and the payroll, it's about $755,000 in total. Of course, that's a cumulative. That is also includes the 2019. So, I mean, that would go a long way to, of course, of catching up the past due.
Yeah. So
Nick, just, for the stack again.
Okay, I'll get on the stack as well. Go ahead, Nick.
So it's helpful, Anita, but I'm just looking at the spreadsheet from the last time we had this discussion, and about the statement from January, and it includes what the take was, the revenue and expenses in fiscal year 18 and fiscal year 19, and then it's through January fiscal year 20. And the statement I see that shows that the expenses for the national office, the operating expenses went up from roughly $1.6 million in 2018 to $1.9, almost $2 million in fiscal year 19. So we had basically almost a $400,000 increase in expenses in 2019. And then it seems like we're tracking at that level this year. So what's driving the expense increase from 18 to 19 and continuing into this year? How can personnel costs at the national office be reduced? How can administrative expenses at the national office be reduced on the expense side? And then on the affiliate side, if you just take the affiliate income and look at what the affiliate income was in fiscal year 18, income from affiliates and between the years is basically flat, $240,000, $238,000 in the next year. So what's the national office doing to increase affiliate income? What's the national office doing to increase its other portions of income? These are questions that the national office ought to be examining, and I don't know who has the responsibility there, but these are places that should be focused on.
Sure, and we can do an analysis for you. But as soon as you mentioned it, I zeroed in on professional services legal. And keep in mind, I'm looking at February. There's a lot of legal expenses being paid from October on. But again, we can provide you the detail. That's the largest area. And insurance expense also. 17,000 in February. But again, I'll provide that and get it to you before, and plenty of time for you to review it before the next call.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry. I've lost my train of thought. So go ahead, James.
Bill, for the sec.
Okay, Bill. I got you. Go ahead, James.
Oh, I'm sorry. I burst in on Anita there. I was just saying I wish you would, Anita, would produce the, or, you know, give us some information about what the legal costs were resulting from the October activities of the member on this call who keeps wagging his finger at us about how we're not carrying our weight and caused us all that damage. So, yes, we need to know what the costs were, the legal costs around the October time period and going forward from there. And I thank Anita for offering to do that.
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, well, first, you know, we keep hearing all these accusations, and blaming doesn't help. And just a reminder, you know, the legal costs from the WBI situation were caused by the staff at WBI who sued Pacifica to get their jobs and shows back. That's what the legal expenses were for. Now, to get back to the earlier question about the my next question was why 2019 expenses went up so much. 2018, remember, we had almost no accountants in the national office for the last half of the year at least, and we weren't getting information flowing through the national office for the first almost up to around May of 2019. And so we had a huge amount of catching up to do, and Ned has been helping with that, doing most of the work. And, you know, that all that those delays resulted in the audit being put on hold. And I remember the auditor told us twice that they were having to stop work because they weren't getting information. This was like over a year ago now, or about a year ago. So that's why the expenses are higher. I wouldn't expect them to continue like that once we get caught up. We were still catching up with the pensions, and you know, that was another thing. That, you know, that plus losing audits years ago were primarily because of not having enough trained, experienced staff in the national office because we couldn't afford them to do all the accounting work, and that's why we got so far behind on pensions as well as the audits. And, you know, again, the underlying cause of that also is lack of adequate central services so we could pay and get the people. But we're actually spending less now because the salaries are so high in Berkeley when we had people there, and it was really hard to keep them. We couldn't pay competitive salaries, so we're constantly having to retrain people. And it's one of the highest cost of living areas in the country. I'm done.
Okay. Yeah, looking at that category, the salaries and related expenses, it's actually that section is actually down 31% for the year. I think the outside services is up by at least that amount in absolute terms over the same period last year. Is it at least or is it about the same? I'm having a quick look. It's actually a net gain on that, I think, if I'm looking at it right. Year to date, this through January, last year was $68,000. Now it's just a whisker over $100,000. So that's up 32. Salaries, the whole salaries category is down about 60. The problem, as Anita said earlier, is elsewhere, I guess. I'm trying to scramble through this spreadsheet as I'm talking on the phone right now.
I am too, and quite frankly, I will get this probably by tomorrow, get you some details so we can all see it. But it is all over, and primarily I see it in legal. I lost my place. Sorry.
Okay.
But it's definitely not in payroll.
Yeah, it's not on the salary side.
No.
Go ahead, Arpal.
Yeah, and we've got all sorts of expenses coming in here, and I'm not sure how much all of it goes gets credited or whatever to the national office. On the other hand, regarding a remark that the legal expenses were caused by the BAI staff trying to get their jobs back, you know, maybe if people are going to do stupid stuff, they should check out where they're going first. New York is not some, you know, strange place where you can screw over the workers so easily. And, you can't just tell people, you're all fired, and have that be it. That kind of diktat does not work in New York City. Plus, it should be noted that the person who perpetrated that particular sort of crime did so without any authorization and has since been fired. So really, people should not really be trying to cover their asses with what they've done by blaming it on others.
Those were union employees.
All right. We have a few minutes left on this item. Is there anyone else for the staff?
Yeah, James, please.
Go ahead, James.
I'm sorry, I jumped the stack again. I just want to say, yes, and those were union employees, and they had contracts, and those contracts were violated. And that is what cost the legal fees, and it was the actions of that member on this call who he took, and he's still wagging his finger at us. It's like, you know, I can't wait till it's really over. Thank you.
All right, James. Thanks. Anything more? I'm sure
there
is.
One other thing, yeah. James, one other thing,
mm-hmm.
If I may. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, it's okay. We got 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to say also that, you know, it's time to stop pretending that WBI does not carry its weight in different ways, and because of accounting methods, things like, you know, $500,000 bequests and $60,000 in sideband revenue does not get credited to us for our central services, but yet it allows some to pretend that we don't carry our weight and we're completely, you know, we're the problem at Pacifica when the problems in Pacifica are rampant and they run through the network. And one of the main problems is the lack of financial reporting, which originates out of stations that do not have call letters WBAI.
Okay, thanks, James. Just to make sure that everybody understands, the accounting has been getting increasingly more current, I guess. I don't know how to put that. More contemporaneous with today's date as time goes on, and I'm confident that I'll be sending the February out before the end of the week, and probably even sooner than just a day or two. I think I just got the opportunity to receive it today. If it weren't for the COVID-19 situation, which has created a lot of chaos on my end personally, I would have already taken care of it. But I would really like some feedback from the general managers via the treasurers who sit on this committee about the accuracy of the statements so that we can make corrections as we move forward and have good, accurate numbers that we can work off of. In other words, you know, if we want to contest any of these things, we should contest them and figure out how to resolve those contestations so that we actually have some meaningful operating numbers to work with. Can everybody hear me okay, by the way? I have you on speakerphone so that I can look at the text on the agenda. Okay, good.
This is Nick for the stack, Chris, when you're ready.
Okay, Nick. We're basically out of time for this item, but if you have something quick, go ahead.
I guess the quick thing is, you know, Anita's on the phone here today, and, they're the controller, they're the CFO of the company. I'm just puzzled by how is it that they don't know how accurate the internal numbers that they're producing for us are, I'm just puzzled by that and the amount of effort that we're going into, I guess, double checking their work. And I'm just not understanding that, because they're professional accountants. They're doing this work for us. Well, why don't we believe that their numbers are accurate?
Okay, well, allow me to answer that question for her. But once we turn to the next item, she can address it as well if she feels that she must. But just speaking from my own personal experience, I send numbers out to accounting companies, professional accounting, all the time, and they come back, and there are what I consider to be categorization errors, and it's up to me to tell them how to categorize things, because, like, for example, if something comes in that's a material that shows as a material expense and it's actually a services expense that needs to be moved from materials to services, it's that sort of granular level of accounting that we're talking about here. The overall numbers are, I believe, workable, but there are also some general categorizational things that we should be talking about as an organization. And, that would be, I don't know, I guess that would be a discussion that we should probably have with the EB about how to handle some of this stuff. But I think that it's expecting an accounting firm to understand how some of these granular details should be categorized is really kind of a matter for the organization, not for a matter for the accounting firm. They should look at the numbers and decide for themselves. It won't affect the bottom line. It's just a matter of how all this stuff weighs out. But in addition to that, we've had late reporting on revenue numbers, which has been driving me nuts. And that's why I've been reluctant to send these out, because it makes everything look horrible. When NITA reports $50,000 for revenue out of the station that actually generated $175,000 in revenue. And so I don't want everybody to go into a blind panic thinking that our revenue has fallen 10% when it's actually up. So it's a combination of things. It's late reporting that's producing the errors, and it's also miscategorization, which I think is more up to us than up to them. But if Anita would like to correct me, I'd be happy to entertain that.
Well, I don't have really a comment. The difference in the revenue is, if it's not in the general ledger, we wouldn't have it. Because what we're doing is we're taking the information from all the stations for those that are on Great Plains, and we bring it into the spreadsheet that you see. The income statement. So the difference might be in summary, if you will, in the grouping, that there's some numbers that are different from theirs, but we're sharing the financials with the business managers. I think we need to really, I need to personally talk to every business manager after they have an opportunity to review it and see if there's something that they'd like for us to change, if you will, or to, again, consolidate in a different manner. But the bottom number is going to be the same if it has gone through the general ledger. And I know, Chris, you know what I'm referring to. Because otherwise we would not know it. So, again, we've got to tie to the trial balance. So, I mean, these are not numbers that we're making up, per se.
Right. Yeah. Double entry bookkeeping it red flags pretty much every error that comes up. As long as you guys have something to verify those numbers with, like bank statements, for example, you're going to know whether your balances are right, period. And so it's really, having fulsome and accurate information provided by the individual units that aren't entering directly into Mass 500. That is going to drive the accuracy of these books. And, I think we've already discussed this a couple of times, but, that's kind of the bottom line, I think. I believe.
Right.
Okay. So, The next item we had up was kind of a general discussion of where we stand as of February 28th, and then a discussion of our payables, which is, I know, kind of a pet subject of Bill's, but also it's becoming one of mine as well, and I think it should probably be one of the committee's, because it's becoming a more urgent matter as time goes on. And I'll let Anita lead this discussion. And then, sorry, who was that? Okay, I'll let Anita lead this discussion, and then we'll circle back with questions and any additional comments. So there's 30 minutes for this item. Anita, if you don't mind chiming in, I would appreciate it.
Sure, be happy to. And this, I think I've been mentioned for a couple of times. I've reached out to Lydia and Chris primarily, I think, just the other day. And essentially because I continue to see that Pacifica is not paying our invoice. I mentioned, I think, the last call that we had, our contract with you is $27,500 every month. And right now we're about 6 months behind in paying NETA. And quite frankly, I'm to a point that we need to collect something on it. Even if it was half of that or what have you, because, I go through committees also. I present to NETA. If they see a large balance outstanding on the balance sheet, they're going to want to know what it is. We have an audit. Obviously, they would really question that. They would, quite frankly, force us to set up an allowance for a balance of $165,000 if that was still outstanding come June when we start our internal audit. But again, quite frankly, is that I'm using a line of credit to subsidize this balance. And actually, the outstanding is $168,000. And be happy to entertain any questions that you might have.
Okay. Anita, I guess what I should do at this point is just tell everybody that I just got off a phone call with Lydia, and what we basically discussed was that, Lydia's been tied up with a combination of quite a few things, honestly. But one of the things that was kind of hanging out there in the balance was whether the bylaws vote would go through and how that would impact the organizational structure of Pacifica and what that would mean going forward. And having settled that, what Lydia was suggesting that we do as an organization is get back to a fulsome and a thorough discussion of A, our finances, and B, how to bring everything into balance going forward, so that valuable vendors like Netta and others and our auditors, might be described as essential services in most businesses, will get paid in a timely way, so that they can continue providing services to Pacifica. Speaking personally, I feel that I would be completely lost as to what our financial standing was without them. And for, 2 of the 3.5 years that I've been involved with the organization, that's exactly where I was. I lost. I didn't feel like I had enough information to actually comment on where the organization stood or what to do about the situation. Now it's entirely different. I feel like I understand it pretty well. And I think any member of the organization that's looking at these numbers would have a pretty good idea of where we stand too. And that's super helpful, of course. And it should inform our decisions and our planning going into the future. And now that we have our new board, I'm hopeful that we can do that. What Lydia was suggesting is that we turn the PMB into basically a discussion and a fruitful discussion of the finances and how to manage things going forward. And that would include a discussion of all the payables that have racked up during the time that that we've been in chaos, during the last 6 months that we've been in chaos. And I hope that we can actually do that. And if we do that, and we have some say, as those of us that are sitting on the PMB have some say in this, that we can be, the NFC can be a part of that, which it really hasn't been up until this point. So, and Lydia would like that as well, just FYI. So, that was kind of where the discussion went today. Lydia was suggesting we do it on the shortest timetable possible at this juncture. So, and I would like to see that as well. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I have a question, Chris, as to whether or not that call that you had involved any discussion of a nationwide, network-wide fundraising effort for the both the audits and for NEDA. And if not, if it's time for us to discuss it as a committee and recommend it to the PNB. That's a question for you.
Okay. Did you have anything additional to ask, or would you like me to answer that one?
No, yes, just that.
Okay. So every discussion I've had with Lydia in the last 3 months has at some point touched on this subject. And I think that the chaos at the management level has prevented her from she's thinking about it actively. And I think what she's looking for is for the PMB to take a role making those decisions, but not by analogy, there's another word that I'm not able to think of right now. But she's also hoping, of course, that the NFC can be involved in that as well. So I think that it would be appropriate for us to circle around and discuss this at the next opportunity, or perhaps even start discussing it tonight. But we have touched on it a few times in this committee as well. So, yes, she's actively thinking about it. She's more than open to it, of course. And I remember at least one discussion where she was looking at openings in the schedule where individual stations weren't in their fund drives to slip this into, because it would only be a day or two of national fund drive. But it would take some promotional effort to make sure that everybody understood what that was about and to try and activate our membership to contribute to that. So I don't know that she has outlined any specific openings, but I know that she was looking at that. So I can circle back to her after this meeting and find out whether she has any proposed calendar dates for the national fund drive. But then again, we don't really have the parameters of it. I received an email a couple days ago from Nancy Sorden. Thanks, Nancy. If you're listening, why aren't you on this call, Nancy? If you're listening, you should be on this call. sorry. And she had some nice concrete breakdowns based on number of member contributions and if, one scenario didn't play out, how that would affect the overall drive. And it was actually kind of cool and thoughtful, I thought. And I got that yesterday. And people are thinking about this, and I don't hope that we can make it happen. We need to make it happen. So, and on the shortest possible timetable, obviously, so that we can relieve ourselves of that burden. And then that would reduce the overall expenses in the organization for 2020, by $250,000 or something in that ballpark. And
can I make a very quick response, Chris, when you're done?
That would be good. Sure. Go ahead, James.
I just want to say that this would be a great time to urge the National Board to do that, because after this election, we're all somewhat exhausted, but we're also there's some optimism, and it might be a good time to do it, you know, now. And, you know, perhaps we could urge the board, you know, especially based on Anita's comments, you know, we could urge them about how important it is.
Yeah, I agree with you, James. We can, if somebody wants to draft a little motion to that effect, that would be lovely. I'm sure that the committee would be more than happy to endorse that. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, you know, what we're talking about is actually trying to do national fund drives to make up for shortfalls in central services. Again, if all the stations paid their central services, we wouldn't have this problem at all. And we'd be able to pay off all our external debt, except for that $3.25 million loan. At least we'll be able to keep up with current things. And this is an ongoing problem. This isn't just a one-time thing. And I'm worried because, you know, some of the stations are having longer and longer fund drives. WBI has been averaging about 140 days of fund drive a year for the last over 4 years. KPFK, I believe, has been had even more days of fund drive in the last year. And when we start adding in more fund drive days, it just cuts down on one of the effects is it cuts down on the amount of the stations to get and succeeding the next fund drive because people just get tired of it. So I don't think this is a long-term solution. And the long-term is that we've got to change some of the stations' operations enough so that they can control their expenses. KPFT does it with a really tiny staff, you know, and we're paying our bills, including central services. And, you know, other stations that aren't making central services payments should be looking at what they need to do to pay it themselves instead of expecting the rest of Pacifica to pick up the slack over and over again.
Okay. Thanks, Phil. Is there anybody else for the stack? Really?
I'm too tired.
I think everybody's tired.
I would, Chris, this is Nick Arena.
Please, go ahead, Nick.
So, national fundraising days are fine. I think they do eat into what the stations produce for themselves, but I'm willing to support that. But I also do suggest, is anyone looking at what we charge people to be affiliate, what we charge people on the top end, on from the national office side, what can we do to add more stations? You know, what could we do on programming side? Because in the end, I'm going to repeat myself from earlier. If the national office thinks that its solutions are to keep trying to generate more money out of the stations, my 4 years here have said that that's actually not going to happen. We have to look for other revenue sources, and I think the national office should look at the revenue sources it has some control over. How can it raise its prices? How can it do its own fundraising and get grants? And how can it reduce its expenses? Because looking at the stations alone is not going to make the problem go away.
James?
Nick, can you clarify by what you mean by looking at the stations is not going to make the problem go away? I'm sorry, just you can clarify that comment.
Meaning, like, if the stations have to produce almost all the income out of central services for the national office to pay its bills, that's not going to be enough money. It hasn't been for 4 years, and there's nothing that would tell us that it would be any different in the next 4 years. So central services alone is not producing enough income because the stations aren't producing more income. Their revenues are industry-wide down, as you've communicated, over 8%. So what can be done to increase the number of stations that we call affiliates? What do we charge affiliates? How can we increase those prices? And how can we get more revenue out of not just out of the five stations, but out of other sources?
Okay. I understand you. Thank you. Anyone else for the stack?
James?
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I think in October, before the unplugging, shall we say, WBAI's Arbitron / Nielsen's were increasing. I think it was the only station in the network where that was the case. And I think we've done a lot of revisions in our program schedule, and our listenership is growing. Our revenue has not followed in the same curve, like, you know, think of a coronavirus curve. It's not like Italy and the United States, but it takes time for the income, the revenue increase to catch up to the listener increase. So I think we are on a track for that. And while I grant what was just said that, you know, most things remaining the same, then you can't count on revenue from the stations to increase, and you might have to look outside. But the real solution to that is to increase the listenership, which means revamping the programming, getting new blood, getting new sound, getting new voices, new energy in, and thereby eventually increasing the revenue. And I grant you, eventually may not be soon enough, and that's why I fall back and rely on emergency national fundraising to pay NEDA and to get our auditors up to snuff, and then finally, possibly, hopefully, to get back our CPB funding, which I believe we lost due to lack of reporting, again, from stations whose call letters are not WBAI.
Okay. I would be prepared to argue that, you know, losing our internal accounting also had a fair amount to do with that. You may be at least partially right there, James, but we had a lapse of you people have been around longer than I have. I wasn't actually around I think I was on the LSB, but not on the PMB at that point. But I believe that we had about a 6-month lapse between Sam Argwal and NEDA, where we really didn't get any accounting done. And Sam was quite a ways from getting the audits done at that point in time.
Busy working on bankruptcy.
Yeah, maybe so. I was going to say for reasons unknown to me, but in any case, I think this problem from before was maybe a little bit more nuanced than simply non-reporting. It was a combination of things. Anyway.
May I have a point of personal privilege?
Sure. Go ahead, James.
I want to apologize. I have been stepped on the stack a few times and interjected my stream of consciousness thoughts into other people when they were speaking, and I apologize for that.
Thank you, James. Would anyone else like to comment?
R. Paul?
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Yeah, this will sound a little bit off topic, but I think it's actually very on topic. When we get into discussing things like revamping the air and all of that, we need to also keep in mind the very, very special situation that we have in Pacifica, where there's a lot of the air comes out of unpaid people. And folks say, you know, we need to revamp the air. I agree, you know, I've given my speech before about if you have a business and it's not making enough money, you got to look at your products, maybe have a new product. But since our only product is the air, we have to improve the air. That's true. The thing we're going to have to keep in mind, and this will come up if we can manage to improve the air, is you've got all these mostly unpaid people and some other people who are getting paid, but are getting paid to do radio at a rate that is pitiful in comparison to a commercial station. And if you get somebody who's on the air and who's doing well, somebody from outside Pacifica will come up to that person and say, "Hey, you're doing nicely there. How would you like to make $100,000 a year doing the same thing you're doing now and getting to more people?" Very few people are going to be able to resist that kind of thing. And $100,000 is, you know, chump change to a commercial station. And we need to keep that particular dynamic in mind, because it does happen. And again, it's not for a big discussion now, but we need to keep in mind that simply saying, oh, we got a good show, oh, we can relax, doesn't work, because you got to keep generating more. And that's the really hard part of program direction in Pacifica. That's all I have to say.
Thanks, Mark Paul. Anyone else? I'm actually looking at the February report now for the first time, and it looks like listener revenue is up quite a bit, and I'm not sure whether that's because we have had a lot more fund drive days in the first 5 months or whether it's because the revenue per listener is up quite a bit, and it would be difficult for me to tell without knowing how many fund drive days we have, or we've had for each individual station. I don't know. This is probably not the best time to ask that question. If I were to ask that question, would anybody present be able to answer it? Does anybody know how many fund drive days they've had in this fiscal year through? Yeah, it sounds like a crazy question. But does anybody know? Does anybody know?
Nancy here. Can you hear me?
Yes, Nancy. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, okay. I've been on the call trying to say something, but I guess you didn't hear me before. I just called back in. I don't know what was wrong. I wasn't muted, but
okay.
Anyways, who knows? Technology is funny sometimes.
Indeed it is. So, were your ears burning? I actually mentioned you earlier on.
I heard that. I was on the call.
Okay, cool. I thought you might. Well, I
said, wondering. I'm here. Anyways, okay.
Forgive us.
Okay.
So, my phone has been dropped a number of times. That could be it.
Okay. Do you want to check? Okay, Bill. Do you want to chime in, Nancy? Oh, no, hold on a second. Do you want to chime in, Nancy, or do you want, is it okay for Bill to go ahead?
Oh, yeah, I would like to say something on that previous thread. I was trying to chime in there.
Okay. Go ahead.
You know, we're in a funny situation right now. We need the audits done so that we can get outside funding. We have to have our audits completed in order to apply for grants, not just the CPB one, but other ones, and also to approach big donors. And there's been some things holding up getting the audits done. And, you know, it's not a non-payment of central services. It's, it's data that we need from the stations, and we're not getting it. If stations aren't paying their central services, at least they could cooperate in the audits.
Okay, thanks, Nancy.
Sharon for the stack.
Okay, I have Bill in front of you, Sharon. Anita, can you comment on how fulsome the accounting has been out of the individual stations to date? My understanding is that it's relatively complete at this juncture for the audits that are in question at this juncture. Is that right?
There's a few items that are still missing, but Eileen has helped tremendously the last couple of weeks. A lot has come in. I think there's a few items I don't have in front of me, maybe from two stations, that George does not have. He did send me an update. But he also said that they have started on 2019, and almost running that parallel until we can finalize. We've engaged the auditor again, telling them if they can go ahead and start again, that we're ready. Again, we'll touch base with Eileen and see if she can get that last piece of information for us that the auditors will need. Okay?
Okay. Okay, thanks, Anita. Bill, go ahead.
Oh, just real briefly, you were talking about February revenue going up. Usually, most of the stations have a fund drive in February. I'm not sure if all of them did this time, but, you know, usually we have one in October and then February because you know, January is usually the worst year. Everybody's paying their Christmas bills, and the worst month of the year, and then sometime in the spring. So it would be expected that we'd have more revenue in February.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. I'm showing a 5% revenue increase, and that includes the massive amount of bequests that we got in the previous year. So I'm actually pretty pleased with where the revenue numbers are at this point in time. But Sharon, go ahead.
Yes, just regarding the information needed from stations at the last NFC meeting, KPFA was dragged through the mud by somebody on this call. And so I did, as I said on that last call, I did check with Jorge Diaz and Anita and with our business manager and verified that all the information was submitted from KPFA prior to the last NFC call. And apparently there was some miscommunication beyond that level. But in addition, Maria, our business manager, has been in direct contact with Jorge Diaz. And I do not believe there's any outstanding information needed. So I just want to make two points. One is that it would be nice if people would not drag other stations through the mud, which happened for about 5 minutes last time and turns out to be completely untrue about KPFA. And the second point is that it's just much more helpful if people just ask for information and, you know, we can try to get it to happen, which is what did happen since the last call.
Okay. Thanks, Sharon. Anyone else for the stack? We got maybe 5 minutes left here.
James for the stack.
Go ahead, James.
I'd like to ask Sharon if KPFA has started to utilize and is working with Mass 500?
I don't know. What's WBAI doing? As far as I know, you guys don't even use Great Plains, which the other stations use.
No, we're using Mass 500, which is the requested software. And I'm, again, you don't know if KPFA...
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay, thank you.
I believe KPFA is using Great Plains, which is what three of the stations are using. And two of the stations are using Mass 500, but Anita probably can answer that question.
That's correct, Sharon.